Hi, and welcome to The Learning Curve with Kenny, the podcast where we unpack ideas, strategies, and mindsets that drive growth and development. I'm your host, Kenny, and today we're diving into one of the most critical pillars of business success. Yes, you're correct if you guessed it. It's sales training. With AI reshaping industries and customer expectations evolving faster than ever, the real question is, how do we make sure sales professionals aren't just keeping up, but truly thriving? And we're going to explore that question today with my guest, John Golden, Chief Strategy and Marketing Officer at Pipeliner CRM. John has spent years and years at the intersection of AI-driven sales technology and professional development. He's also an author of a best-selling book, or maybe multiple books. I think I didn't do my research on that part. He's a fellow podcaster and publisher of Sales Pop. And through all of that, he's been helping salespeople sharpen their skills and organizations elevate their results. John, welcome. It's great to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks, Kenny. It's a real pleasure.
Okay, so let me follow up on my first mishap. Is it one book or several books?
It's two books, yeah. It's
two books.
The Battle of Sales and the Social Upheaval, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's very impressive. On the checklist of things to do in one's life, you have that one marked off. And if you have a Harley, then you got two of those things marked off.
Yeah, no, I don't have a Harley, I'm afraid. I'm afraid my wife won't let me get one. I used to ride motorbikes back in Ireland back in the day. And she said, well, you can just hang on to those memories.
Okay, well, let's just dive into our topic today. Before I start, though, I do have I always have a lead-in question, and my lead-in question is: what's one of the lessons or an insight that you picked up recently outside of sales that gave you a new perspective?
Outside of sales, I just think this is the one in general. I think that people are overlooking, Kenny, is I remember years ago I was interviewing David Meerman Scott, who's written a bunch of marketing books and, you know, turning customers into fans. He's been published in multiple languages, very well known. And this was back at the beginning. This was many years ago, so maybe 15 years ago. And he said the thing that salespeople overlooking and at the time was they think that when they engage with the prospect, that the prospect just researches the company, right? Goes on Google, looks up the company. Mm-hmm. But he said at the time, but now they're also researching the salesperson, right? Themselves. Ah. And so at the time, that was kind of a kind of light bulb moment, like, hang on a second, you know, your brand is important, right? You know, your mm-hmm. personal brand as a salesperson or as anybody in business, as we know. And that's kind of become just a standard, right? You know that if you engage with somebody, they're going to research you, mm-hmm. like you personally, not just the company. Now, fast forward, AI. People are starting to use AI search as their go-to search. So now the thing is, everybody should check out, what does AI say about you? So you've probably Googled yourself, but have you done an AI search on yourself? I would encourage everybody to do that, because it does. I mean, it finds lots and lots of information and stuff. And that's why you have to ask yourself, is that what I want to project to the world? Right. And if it is, fine. If it's not, then maybe you need to go and do some adjustments in how you're showing up online. But I think that's the biggest change, mm-hmm. Kenny, is that people haven't realized yet is the days of just Google searching you or me, it's gone. Now it's AI searching. And that, remember, is not just search results, it's also interpretation and gathering information together. So it's an interesting exercise I would encourage everybody to do, is to go, not just Google yourself, now go do an AI search on yourself.
Okay. So you already hit it out the park. You already gave some really good information, but I'm still going to nail you down on this one, because I don't think it quite qualifies as an experience outside of the sales, but you can say something that if affected sales. So what would you say was a learning experience outside of sales? You can go to sports, too, if that helps.
What's that?
You can also go to sports or whatever.
I mean, I do martial arts, so I mean, I've done that, for a long, long time, and so one of the a great learning lesson, a reminder, and this is for everybody, is that you always have to go back and revisit your fundamentals, right? Regardless of what your job is, your business, or whatever, or your even in life. Because I guarantee you, the longer we do something, the more experienced we get, the more complacent we get, the more chance we have of starting to maybe take a few shortcuts, modify things. So sometimes in martial arts, like recently, we were like a week or so ago, we were literally going back and just doing basic stances and footwork and stuff you'd done so many times and years ago. And yet, regardless of what level you are, how long you've been doing it, you'll suddenly discover, I'm not doing this particularly correctly. I'm doing this. I've modified this, or I'm not doing it, and it's a great reminder. It's a great reminder. And that's an encouraging thing I would encourage everybody to do, is just question, are there things that you used to do that helped you have a better life, a better job, better results in your job, your work, your business, that maybe you're not doing anymore?
Okay. I definitely like that one. I'm going to run with it. The first one I like too, but we'll get to, you're gonna probably drop some more wisdom nuggets here on me in a couple of questions that I have. So sales has always been about people, which you already started the conversation with, and of course, relationships. But the environment around it is shifting rapidly. From your perspective, why does sales training need to evolve now more than ever?
Yeah, I just think the intersection of technology and sales has become, they're so profoundly entwined now, is that once upon a time, sales training was seen as, okay, we'll train you on a sales methodology, or we'll train you on, so the theory, if you like, the theory and maybe the theory and practice of sales, but the technology piece or the tools piece, that was always done separately. You know, your business, looks after that. And what's profoundly changed is that you can't operate effectively, especially in B2B complex sales, right? You can't operate effectively without a good technology sales stack behind you. And that's the difference now, is you don't need to just get trained on the methodologies or the theories of how do I build a relationship with you, how do I do good questioning, discovery, all of that, but also how do I leverage the technology. And we actually at Pipeliner CRM, we actually work with two universities now. We work with DePaul University and we work with Purdue. And they have programs where they're actually doing degrees and that for sales. Okay. And part of what they're doing, the reason why we're involved as well, is they're using Pipeliner CRM to learn how to leverage CRM and sales. So they're learning the technology part at the same time as they're learning, the craft of sales. And that's where I think things have changed, is that number one, sales training needs to address the technology. It needs to be intertwined. You need to be learning about how to sell, but also how to leverage technology to support you, how to use your CRM, how to use the AI tools. What is low value work for you that technology can look after? How do you get to the point where you're able to engage with your prospects in a much more informed and prepared, manner? And I think that's the biggest change, Kenny, is you have to have it. It has to be all encompassing. It has to be technology and, the theory and practice. And then it has to be reinforced and embedded in your CRM system, right? So everything that you learn about all the sales training should be embedded in the system in the different stages of your sales process. So everything should work together. And finally, and this is sales leaders need to embrace the idea that it's the technology and the human part combined. So they also need to understand the technology. They need to leverage the technology. They need to be using it so that so that they can get better insights into their people. They can be much more targeted in their interventions, so that I can analyze how you operate in a sales process. I can then say, okay, I can see where you're maybe struggling a little bit. Therefore, I can do a targeted training intervention there, as opposed to just taking you out and throwing you into training for a week.
Okay. So That was a lot of intake there. So you've already touched on a couple things that I think we're going to dive in a little closer and a little more segmented. So it's a it's a couple little more learning nuggets, so to say. But one of the critical questions that I had is, when you look at how companies train their sales teams today, where do you see the biggest gaps or missed opportunities? I think you already alluded to it a little bit in what you just previously said, but maybe we could get on that point specifically.
Yeah, I think it's still the age-old problem when it comes to sales training, and this probably goes for a lot of training in general, but particularly for sales training, is that organizations and leaders, you know, often see it as a distinct event, right? I'm going to put Kenny through training. We're going to, you know, next week we're going to bring in some people, or we're going to do this, and it's going to be a week of intensive training. And they still fall into that trap, and they don't realize that that's all well and good. You know, that's fine. You train your people up. The key, though, is always the management, you know, the middle management, the sales leaders, right? Those are the important part, because I can train you, Kenny, but if next time you engage with your sales leader or your sales manager and they don't reinforce the things that I've trained, that they're not looking for them, they're not talking about them, then you're going to naturally take your cues and you're going to say, yeah, that stuff didn't really matter. They don't really care about this. I don't really have to do that. And for me, that is the biggest failing when it comes to training, is that it's not properly reinforced by management on a regular basis. They're not going, you know, I mean, back when I was at Huthway, you know, we would train companies and we would say, okay, here's a leading indicator of success. If people are doing proper call planning, right? You know, they're dedicating time. They're actually like filling out call planners. They're preparing for the meeting and all. That's a predictor. You know, if they're doing that consistently, that's a predictor of success. Mm-hmm. Now, you, Mr. Manager, when's the last time you looked at one of their call plans? When was the last time you asked them, let's go through the call plan, or after the call, like, how did that do in relation to what you had planned? All of that stuff, right? Because otherwise, I'm not doing my call planners anymore, because it doesn't seem like you care.
Yeah. Okay. That's a perfectly, great example, actually. I wouldn't have thought that it would have that much of effect as you describe, but once you describe it, it makes perfect sense for me, to reinforce a learning habit. I mean, in essence, you know, we do that in all forms of training, but oftentimes I find that the most obvious things we sometimes lose track of. Like just when you said at the beginning, it's, you know, go back to basics, the basic form. And in this case, you know, why are we actually doing this? You know, why did we give you this training? And to see also to support that, hey, you did your training, it's working, and I acknowledge that. So I think that's a pretty interesting explanation that you gave there. Let me move on to another topic. Of course, you know, part of our discussion is technology. Of course, AI is the thing that's driving most everything or most discussions nowadays. So you've been deeply involved with AI-driven sales CRM. My question is, how can technology enhance sales training without losing the human side of it?
Yeah, and I think that's as I mentioned earlier, Kenny, I think that if you leverage technology properly, if you leverage the sales technologies and all of the supporting technologies properly, it should take away the routine, the low value, the repetitive, the rote tasks. It should also help to bubble up good insights and information and condense them, give you, you know, the sentiment, reviewing all of the communications that I've had with Kenny right now. What's the sentiment here? Has it changed over time? Yes, it looks like it was really positive. Now it's gone a little neutral. Okay, that's good piece of information. I can review all of the communications. I can get the themes. What have we been talking about? I can find everything that's happening with your company. I can then now leveraging all of those tools to be the most prepared I can possibly be, What does that do? That allows me to come into any interaction with you far better informed, far better prepared. And then that allows me to have those deep conversations with you. That's the human part. That's the part that we, at the end of the day, the part that we really pay top salespeople for is the part where they can get in, build a relationship, understand the needs, have deep conversations, be able to pivot, be able to like react to things. And if you're more informed, and you have more time to do that, you're going to be more effective. So that's where I think the real power of these tools are, is not to replace you, not to do it for you, but it's to make you so much more informed, better informed, focused on where the best opportunity, focused where your attention. So for me, it's about preparation. It's about focus. And then that creates the space for you to do what you really want to do as a salesperson, which is be creative, is to problem solve, is to understand. And that's something right now, that's an AI is not going to do that bit. So rather than look at it as, how is this impacting my role? Like, is it going to replace me? It's no, the people who use AI effectively are going to replace you, right? Not AI on its own. So keeping with the training theme, I think, Kenny, that's, as I said, you have to train your people properly on the technologies, how to use the technologies, how to leverage them. With the view of and how you sell it to them, and you say you understand this stuff, you leverage this properly, it allows you to do what you want to do and get away from some of the low value tasks, the distractions, all of this, and allow you to be more effective when you engage. And yeah, most salespeople or maybe all salespeople are going to go, yeah, that sounds good to me.
Well, I think you you struck a chord with me in your response when you said, one element that you say, in which in other conversations about AI and its so forth, is the aspect that you struck a chord with when you mentioned creative, basically, and it's the creativity of the individual that I think in sales as well as in many other jobs. Will make the difference, or that's the part that the human will still have the edge in, and the part that the human element will have to bring. But flipping the script just a little bit, or you said that leveraging the technology. So looking ahead, what role do you see technology playing in creating a more personalized and effective training experience for sales teams? So you said that in your first response, basically, that leveraging AI and so forth would be one of the key things elements. So how... Yeah, again, to my question, I'm reiterating myself in this case.
No, I understand where you're where you come from, and I think AI is going to play a tremendous role, I think, in training and preparing salespeople in the future, because one of the things AI, obviously, especially conversational AI, right? What it's very good at is if you know how to prompt it properly or whatever, it's very good at having conversations and exploratory and going deeper. I think AI tools for role playing is going to be that's going to be fantastic, because. Mm-hmm. You're going to be able to use AI. You can even probably use AI and look across all of your business, your opportunities, all of that, and have AI review those and then say, okay, create some role plays based on our target. Here's our target ICP ideal customer profile. You're going to be able to get that better, using AI, generate role plays. Test out messages. I mean, there's so many things that you can integrate into training now that you couldn't once upon a time, Kenny. Like I said,
it would have been, to a certain degree, it would have been exhaustive.
It would have been exhaustive. I mean, we used to create role plays at Huntsway. We had to do role plays and stuff for our part of our content when we were training sales teams and stuff. And yeah, we had a team of, we had a team of instructional designers who were putting all of this stuff together, you know, and it took a long time, and you know, it had to be. Now you can leverage AI to do that. So I think, again, I think we can, as regards training, is we can use AI to better prepare people to role play, to do, you know, simulated role plays, to show typical scenarios, to help you understand better the different stages of your sales process and that. So yeah, I think technology is going to play a huge role, but I think it's going to move, the training is going to move even more to just-in-time training, to the point of impact.
So, we see that in our market too, that one of the things that we're focusing on is basically providing the learning experience when the learner needs it, and in the capacity the learner needs it, and personalize it in essence. And where you mentioned previously having, you know, instructional designers design course and so forth and so on, you know, but from the time of inception to the time of delivery is, you know, can be weeks, months, maybe even years. And now it's literally at the click of a button. So it can be almost instantaneous.
No, I was going to say, that's where I do see the future, as the so-called, we used to have that argument, you remember, formal and informal learning and just-in-time training. Now I think, I mean, one of the things we're doing with Pipeline of CRM is we're embedding an AI coach in it, you know, that can actually help you with your job, right? You know, it draws on SalesPop content and other content, but so to help you, so that if you were in the system and you're working on, maybe you're in a negotiation right now, you could pop up negotiation tips and ways to approach negotiations, you know, right there in the system. So you're preparing yourself, but you're, to your point, it's just in time. It's at the point of impact. It's exactly when I need it.
Okay. So one of the other things, you know, we want to provide lots of insights to our listeners. So if I were a company that wants to revamp my sales training today, for example, what practical steps could I take to make sure that it actually sticks and drives impact?
Well, I think there's a few things. I think if you revamp your sales training, the first thing you should do is you should revisit your buyer or your buyers. So you should look again at who is your buyer or buyers. What is your ideal customer profile? What have their buying habits changed? What is, you know, sales cycles got longer, shorter? Are there more people involved? So the first place to do before you revamp your training is to look at your buyer or buyers, as I said, and see, okay, do we have a good understanding of them? Because otherwise, you're training people to sell to a buyer that maybe doesn't exist anymore or maybe has changed and stuff. So you're going to be out of sync. So that's the first thing I would do is check your buyer. And then I would look at your training and say, is the training all theoretical now? Is it the same thing as, am I just learning methodologies? Am I, you know, learning, you know, prospecting strategies, things like that. The next thing is, like, where's the technology in this? Like, where have I made sure that we're training people on the use of the tools at the same time as the theories? So that's another way that I would revamp. But I would also ask yourself too, I mean, here's one of the big ones too, Kenny, is we have a lot of different generations in the workforce today.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, somebody said four or five, and I think somebody even said six, and I was like, I don't know where you're getting these other generations for, but hey, who am I to argue? But, you know, so you've got four or five, you've got a lot of generations. So the other part too, this is a massive challenge now, is you have a lot of people who like to learn differently. Right.
Yes.
And so therefore, the other thing you got to look at is, do I have one mode of delivery? Like, do we just take everybody into a classroom for a week and just boot camp them? Do we just throw courses online, you know, that they can access themselves? Or what is it? How are you delivering it today? And if the way you're delivering it today, does that appeal to all of your salespeople, your audience, or are you missing a whole chunk of them because that's not how they learn? So the other thing too, you have to consider is not just revamping your training, but also looking at, do you have to do it in multiple formats in order to be able to accommodate different styles?
Excellent point. In several discussions I've had, one of the things that we've moved away from the classic one focus and one delivery method, you know, be it, you know, the face-to-face coaching where you have somebody stand up there and just, you know, impart information on people one way or the other. And I think technology has, and even more so, I think with the advancement of AI, has been able to change that to deliver information or knowledge or learnings in many different ways, and adapting to how the individual learns. And therefore, especially, you know, learning when the learner is ready to learn. I mean, I guess that's, that's, you know, a pretty big thing. You know, I mean, some people get up early in the morning, some people don't. And if you have to show up to class at 8 o'clock to get your sales training, might be positive, but you might not be the person that, you know, half of that will probably go in one ear and out the other. So I think that's.
I always say, Kenny, is unfortunately in life and business and everything, you have to meet people where they are, not where you'd like them to be. You know, I mean, you'd say, okay, it'd be great if everybody could learn in a boot camp environment. I could just bring them in for a week and just drill it into their brains and everything would be good. Unfortunately, life's not like that anymore. So yeah, you do have to have multiple formats, and you have to look at how people like to consume. And you also need to be careful you don't fall into the trap either of just dividing up your generations and saying, well, the younger folks down here, Gen Z, they'll all want, you know, short, they'll want it online, they want, you know, maybe some of them won't. You know, so I mean, so you got it, like I said, you just got to realize that it's more about provide the formats, and then the people will gravitate towards the one that works best for them.
Okay. You just led me to my next area of questioning with your statement of a trap, you know, falling into a trap. Next question I was going to ask is, you know, general about pitfalls and misconceptions. From your experience, what are some common mistakes organizations make when rolling out training programs?
Oh, yeah. there is a lot, because I mean you know the business and stuff. I mean, it's there's a lot of trainings that fail, or you know, that basically atrophy very quickly. So the number one, as I mentioned earlier, the number one is rolling out training as an event, right? It should never be an event. It should always be a part of a process. It should be an ongoing process. Training shouldn't be some one and done, right? So it may start out with an event.
What do you mean by event? Can you
a lot of times, as I said, traditionally, like something like sales training will be, we're going to do a week's training and we're going to do this boot camp, and that's the way it's turned into a discrete event. As opposed to saying, and like I said, it still could be, you know, you could still be doing classroom training. It doesn't matter, but it needs to be part of an ongoing process. So you need to say, here's the training roadmap for this year. Here's all the things, like, we're going to do some formal training here. Then we're going to follow this up with online. You're going to have, you know, maybe we're going to have, power groups, you know, where we group people together to do, you know, peer-to-peer learning and that. But show that it's a continuum, it's an ongoing thing, that you're always going to be training. You're just going to be training more intensively at some stages than others. And so I think that's the first thing, is to say training is something that we do as a company, and we do it ongoing, and it's part of our DNA, right? So that's the first thing, because otherwise training will never be considered. It'll always be considered like, you know, the poor stepchild, right? I mean, that's the way
it kind of is. Kind of is a synergy to the idea of lifelong learning. You know, most people apply lifelong learning in their private fields or whatever. But it seems in this case, your explanation also is that it should be a lifelong learning within the organization.
Your organization needs to be a learning organization, and a one that's always looking to improve and to upskill. So that's the first thing I would say. That's a major reason. The second one is, as I referenced earlier, that it's kind of pushed down to, this is for you. This is training for you. And so your managers or the leaders, they're not involved in it, right? You know, they're not involved in it. They're kind of, or maybe they'll come in, you know, or they'll at the beginning send an email like, you know, everybody, you know, enjoy your training. This is really important. They need to be involved. They need to be involved. You need to have your, you need to have your sales managers who says you're doing the same training as the salespeople, because they're the ones who are going to need to reinforce it, to encourage the adoption of these things. So you should train, you should literally train your managers first, always first, right?
Okay.
Because here's another, here's something else, Kenny, that it's a, just a human nature thing. It's, If I come in and if somebody comes in or there's a training done, right, and we train all the salespeople, but me as a sales manager, I didn't really go through the training because I felt, well, I'm the manager, I shouldn't have to and all that. But now you know stuff that I don't, right?
Not a good idea.
Do you think I'm going to reinforce this stuff? Do you think I'm even going to bring it up? No, because then I'm going to be afraid that Kenny's actually maybe going to know more about this than me. So I'm not going to embarrass myself. So I'm not even going to reference it. So now you have, you're investing in this training, but then you have the manager almost working against it because they feel like, well, I don't want to show my ignorance now, and I'm not really an expert in this stuff. So train your managers first, make them very comfortable with whatever it is you're training your salespeople on at that time. Make them very comfortable so then they can, and then make them go through the training at the same time so they can be mentors and they can, you know, they can help with the process. Now you've started to get the buy-in across, you know, the whole sales organization.
Okay, that sounds good to me. I mean, I think we wrapped this in a pretty good package. I like a lot of your responses. Some of it is also, for me, new. Some of it also see as being applicable to, you know, not only sales, but, you know, whatever you do in life. So I think that's that's a really valuable lesson in and of itself. So let's take a look at the future outlook. So as you look to the new next, you know, 3 to 5 years, how do you see sales training continuing to evolve?
Yeah, I think it's as we talked about, Kenny. I think a lot of it, it'll be the, you know, the combination of skills and technology. I think that's just a given. You're going to have to learn technology at the same time as you're learning skills, and that will become more and more and more integrated. I think the other thing too is that you need to, sales training again will need to start looking at, okay, where is the highest value of the salesperson? And that's in the relationship bit and the human bit. So I think more investment needs to be on that side, you know, train on the technology, show how it works, you know, show how you can use it to be more informed, to be more prepared, but then train on the fact that we're still going to need that human engagement, that human element. And I think that's the part that we need more training on, because the thing is, a lot of, you know, maybe seasoned salespeople, you know, they have that part down. But then again, it's still new because part of it you have to do now virtually, where you used to do it face to face. So everybody can learn. Some of the younger generations come in, don't realize that they're also going to have to communicate with old fogies who are going to go, yeah, don't text in me and I don't care about your, what was that emoji? I either pick up the phone and have a conversation with me, or I'll buy from someone else. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a challenge. That's going to be a challenge for some people.
Like you said, at the end of the day, I mean, in sales, it's not the AI that makes the decision to purchase a product or go in a certain direction. It's the human, and it's the interaction with the other human.
Not yet, anyway.
Not yet. Yeah. When we get to that point, we'll have to redo another show on this.
So that's what I would say. That's how it's going to how it's going to change. I think the technology element is going to just become de facto, you know, it's just something that you have to do. You have to train and you have to learn how to leverage it. I think then you got to then a lot of focus has to be on the relationship building skills and building relationships with different types of people, with different generations of people, with people who want to be communicated in different ways, and being very comfortable switching between those modes.
That's a very good point when you say a generational switch the gaps they're in. And sometimes, I mean, you know, having to span, you know, so many different generations in one, you know, conversation, so to say. And at the same time, you know, being relevant with that information without outdating yourself. Like I've had, you know, a couple conversations where I dropped some TV show from back in my day, and the reference went, you know, completely, it was non-existent. So I think you're absolutely right about that being a key factor.
And one last thing, Kenny, too, is the other thing, too, is sales in general is a lot of people come into sales, again, by default. It's not a career they particularly chose. You know, maybe they do a marketing degree. Oh, yeah. No, it's huge. If you think a lot of people do like marketing degrees or this or that in college, and then they come out and they realize that there's only a certain amount of marketing jobs. And so they end up taking a sales job thinking, okay, maybe I can switch over at some stage, and or there's no jobs available when you come out. Doesn't matter what your degree is. So you jump on take a sales job. And so there's a lot of people who and then kind of feel like they get stuck in it. That's the other part, that we need to have people embrace it as a career and realize that it can be a fantastic career. You're a problem solver. You're a conduit. It's a great thing. But we've done a really poor job, and popular culture hasn't helped. We've done a really poor job of selling sales as a career. You know, we've kind of yourself, like, you know, if your child said, I'm going to, I have three people I'm thinking of marrying. Well, one's a doctor, one's an attorney, and one's a top salesperson. You'd say, well, forget the salesperson. Like, grab them. Now, the top salesperson may actually be better and may actually earn more money and could be actually a much more, you know, successful person or whatever. But we just don't,
the title,
we just
the
don't
stigma.
Consider the career as a career. And I think that needs to change.
You know, John, that was such a good statement. I was going to wrap this up differently, but I'm actually not sure if I can even top that. I'm going to tough it through, though, with two more questions. But that was, I mean, that was almost the perfect ending for the episode, because that was just great. So I love that last statement. And I think hopefully our listeners will, you know, take that up, seeing sales as not just a way station, but actually a career. And I think that's an excellent statement. I really, really like that. Okay, let me plug up with my last couple of questions, though. We also like to provide our listeners with some practical advice, and, you know, some things that, you know, are straight actionable on day one. So for sales professionals or leaders listening right now, what's one practical habit they could start this week to elevate their sales performance?
There's one really simple thing, and I alluded to it earlier, but is go back and check your fundamentals, right? Go back and check your fundamentals, make sure. And the one place I would look to really careful is preparation, call preparation. What are you doing to prepare for your calls or meetings or Zoom meetings or whatever it is that you're having? Because the top performing salespeople and the best salespeople I've ever come across are people where preparation is non-negotiable, and you would see it on their calendar. And I guarantee you, you take 10 salespeople and you say, let me look at your calendar, you'll see lots of appointments. How many will you see with dedicated time blocked off for preparation? And some of them may say to you, oh yeah, no, I do my prep, you know, I'm going to do it ongoing. The best performing salespeople do have blocked off proper dedicated prep time, and that's a non-negotiable. And I guarantee you, even if you used to do that, I guarantee you there's a lot of you falling into the trap of kind of skipping over that.
Okay, so you've already come up with at least, I'm losing the amount of fingers on one hand to come up with all the things that you said that are already, I think, are really, really awesome. So people listening to the podcast, I think, can take away with that. So, John, if our listeners want to contact you, where's the best place for them to go?
John Golden. You can find me on LinkedIn. Then for the CRM, pipelinersales.com. For SalesPop, at salespop.net or the SalesPop YouTube channel. We just crossed 10,000 subscribers, so please subscribe.
Yeah. Okay.
Please go there and subscribe.
Okay, cool. So that's it for this episode of Learning Curve with Kenny. John, thank you so much for sharing your insights and your time. And to everyone tuning in, if you enjoyed this conversation, please subscribe, leave us a review, and share it with your colleagues or network. Until next time, keep learning, keep growing, and keep pushing the curve. Thanks.
Thank you.
The Learning Curve with Kenny is presented to you by ShareIMC, one of the leading providers of digital learning solutions. Make sure not to miss any of our seasonal content by subscribing in the podcast app of your choice.